So we're looking at 2 Peter chapter 3. I did mention last week that we were going to look at this scripture. We looked last week at 1 Thessalonians, and that was the first part of our message on like a thief. So this is part two. Last week we learned about, I kind of used a phrase from Benjamin Disraeli where he said, "I am prepared for the worst, but hope for the best." And we learned in that that passage in 1 Thessalonians that ignorance is not bliss. Bliss is actually being with the Lord. We also learned about Mizpah, if you remember, and that separation from loved ones where they share a token. But it's something that helps remember and focus on those who are from whom they are apart. And we also learned that where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. So we learned that even though that Christ is in heaven, he's also with us by his Spirit, but we will be reunited with him and that we'll meet him in the air, as it says in 1 Thessalonians. So we're looking forward to that future day when Christ will return. And finally, we heard about faith, hope, and love. How we should have faith and look to Christ. How we should have hope and not grieve like others. And also to have love for our brothers. So that was last week. This week, our focus is on the same kind of thing. So we're still looking at the day of the Lord. But this time, we're going to learn something new. We're going to learn something different from last week, hopefully. So I've got a few questions to begin with. So first of all, how many times have you sat in sermons and heard the truth from God's word, but that has contradicted perhaps something that you believed in the past, something that you had, the way that you had interpreted it, and it, by the exposition of God's word, it's revealed that what you used to think about that particular passage or what you think used to think was actually wrong. How many? It's happened to me a lot, believe me, so many times. Or how many times have you agreed with people giving advice? Or perhaps you've said something yourself in a conversation that is a popular belief, a popular held belief, only to find out later that it's wrong. Perhaps you've been like Job's comforters who spoke from their own understanding and it seemed right at the time, but then you see the error in what they're saying. It happens often. It happens to us a lot. But the important thing, and hopefully what we'll get from today, is as we look and as we learn about God's word, as we grow in our knowledge of Christ, our belief is moulded into what's true. Our belief is shaped into what's true. So hopefully that will be something that we'll get this morning. Often there are interpretations of God's word that are just wrong and dangerous. I mentioned to Grace that I was speaking to a man outside this morning, and he had he'd been brought up in a Catholic environment, and he'd changed the things that he believed over time, and you know some of the things that he'd been taught as a young man, he'd changed his thinking now. And sometimes when we think about traditions and we think of old ways of doing things, it's not necessarily what the Bible says. So I was saying to him, as a church, we believe what the Bible says, and we are very biblically based. You see, as well as watching for the Lord's return, as we learned last week, there's something else we need to do. We need to watch for error, and we need to stick to the truth. And that error can come in all different shapes and sizes. It's not just particular denominations. It's not even anything to do with particular denominations. It's about whoever is. It could be anybody. And errors, as we read from 2 Peter chapter 3, which we'll do in a minute, those sorts of things were happening in the established church at that time, the believers at that time. And that's what's happened over the centuries. Error has come up, but people have returned to God's word. They've stuck to what the Bible says. So we need to watch for error and stick to the truth. And when we say, well, I believe this or I believe that, then we need to be clear of two things. Firstly, we can be wrong. We need to accept that we can be wrong. And we need to accept that we can be wrong when we speak from our own understanding or our own interpretations of things. But equally, we need to remember that we can be right when we speak the word of God. We need to know which is which, and we need to stick to the word of God. So let's read 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 18. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. So be on your guard as the day approaches, because forewarned is forearmed. So we begin our this section in verses 1 and 2. And Peter wants us to think back. He wants us to think back about the things that we've already learned. Previously in 2 Peter, chapters 1 and 2, in chapter 1 we see Peter talking about building up our faith. And he says we're building up. He says, "Oh, we're building up our faith with the raw materials that God has given us. God supplies us with the faith that we need. God supplies opportunities for goodness. He provides the Bible to give us knowledge. He gives us His Holy Spirit to help us with self-control. He often gives us trials to help us develop perseverance. He gives us an example in Jesus Christ to help us to develop godliness. And also He puts us in churches with our brothers and sisters so that we can exercise brotherly kindness. And most of all, He gives us love. Love from Himself and also love to share with each other." So these are the raw materials that God gives us to build our faith, to build ourselves up. And then later on in chapter 1, Peter goes on and explains that he's coming to the end of his life. And the most important thing he wants to do, is that he wants to leave a legacy for his readers, to keep them focused on the truth. After all those years he spent in his life, he's come down to this most important thing, that his readers remember God's word. This truth, he says, has witnesses. He himself is a witness, as he was on the Mount of Transfiguration when God said those words, "This is my son." So this truth has witnesses. It also has prophecy. We know that from the prophets of the Old Testament, and also prophecy as given in a gift. It has scripture. This truth has scripture. We have the Bible as our basis for our truth. So that's chapter 1. This is kind of a bit of a background, really. Chapter 2, Peter warns his readers that error will sneak in. It will try and infiltrate the good. And that he gives examples of how that's happened in the past. God has a track record of punishing sin, but protecting the righteous, preserving the righteous. He speaks of angels being kept in chains. He speaks of Noah being preserved in the ark while the rest of the world was destroyed. And he speaks of Lot being protected as the rest of Sodom and Gomorrah are destroyed. God has a track record of punishing sin, but preserving the righteous. And Peter also highlights in chapter 2 the ignorance and recklessness of the ungodly. These ungodly are more concerned with their own pleasure and their own greed than the truth of God's word. And this is kind of where a lot of the errors, he says, are coming in. And he ends chapter 2 saying, "A dog returns to its vomit." Nice. That those who turn away from God to error are worse than those who have never turned to God in the first place. Ignorance is better than rebellion. So chapter 1 and chapter 2 lay those foundations for what we're looking at in chapter 3. He says, building up your faith using those raw materials, sticking to the truth, the most important thing being the truth, but also that people who bring error will come. People who try and do things for their own gain will come. So Peter begins chapter 3, reminding his readers to stick to the facts. To stimulate us, he says, to wholesome thinking. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to think about good old-fashioned traditional values like playing cricket on the lawn or punting down the river, those sorts of things. That's not the wholesome thinking that he's talking about. The words are also translated in the King James Version, I think, as a sincere mind. So Peter wants us to be focused. He wants us to be aware and awake and basically to understand what's going on around us, not just to follow every drift of popular thinking. He wants us to be sure and absolutely, absolutely aware of what we believe in the Bible. That basically sticking to what the Bible says. And he wants us to take in fully what he's about to say, what he's about to relay in when he's talking later on in chapter 3. So Peter wants us to remember these past words. Not just some fancy sermon we heard once with a catchy tagline. I mean, we all can remember sermons, and I'm not saying sermons are bad things, obviously. But sometimes we can hear things and hold on to something because it fits into what we believe, rather than getting to grips with God's word and understanding what the Bible says about something. Peter wants us to remember Scripture. He wants us to remember what the prophets are saying, what the words of our Lord Jesus Christ are. So Peter's writing here in this letter, even before the Bible was put together, of course there were Jewish scriptures, and there were the letters of the apostles that were sent around the churches and copied and so on. Peter wants us to remember it and recall it. So when we see this, Peter is referring both to the what we consider the Old Testament and also the New Testament, the writings of the apostles. We shouldn't just concentrate on the New Testament and disregard the Old, and equally we shouldn't concentrate on the Old Testament and disregard the New. Both are important because they both teach us important knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're both important. With the Scriptures, we're informed, and we have examples from the past to help us in the future. Therefore, we need to think back on them. We need to think about and learn from those examples so that we can be on our guard as the day approaches. Because forewarned is forearmed. So Peter says we need to think back on that. But also he says we need to look forward in verses 3 to 10. We're looking forward here in this section. Because Peter goes on to prophesy about the last days. He says in the last days these scoffers will come. Now these last days he's talking about is not just right at the end, just before Jesus returns. These last days is actually the section between Jesus ascending and Jesus returning. These are the last days. Because since he says later on, a day is like 1,000 years. This means that we need to be aware of error today. Not just something that's going to happen in the future, but something that's happening today. And Peter prophesies about those who are ignorant and who attack the word. We know today that there are many people who are skeptical, who don't believe what the Bible says. But as Christians, should we be skeptical? As Christians, should we not believe what the Bible says? Quite the opposite. We should be trusting in God's word. We should be trusting in what God has written in his word. And we need to stick to that. I'm not saying that questions are a bad thing. Questions are a good thing. Questions and science is not necessarily a bad thing as well. I'm certainly not saying that. But skepticism is the chief problem, I think, that we have in our society today. It's skepticism, which doesn't believe anything. We need to, as Christians, believe in God's word. Now, Peter goes on about those who, these scoffers. And what these scoffers say is particularly interesting. They say that where is this coming, he promised? They're casting doubt on, similar to what the serpent did in the Garden of Eden, doing exactly the same thing. casting doubt on what God said. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. That's what they say. And that is one of the dangers. We often judge things based on our own experience, which is not such a bad thing, but our own experience is limited. It's better, rather, to judge things based on what God's word says, because that is, as we've said, it's the truth. So therefore, if we are judging things based on our own experience, on our own beliefs, our own traditions, we're in the danger of going into error. It's not about our own experience, our own living memory. It's about what God's word says. So there Peter goes on about these scoffers in the last days, these ignorant men who attack the word. But also he says that God is patient, and God's patience leads to salvation. These scoffers deliberately forget the important stuff. He's mentioned previously in chapter 2 about Noah and Lot, about God punishing sin but preserving the righteous. They forget about that. They'd rather just live in the present. They're forgetting God's word and they're ignoring God's works. They're ignoring the word of God, and they're ignoring the scoffers and skeptics are not accepting the Bible as fact. Now, our faith is not something wishy-washy. It's based on the fact of God's word. We believe because God has promised in his word. We're believing God's promise. So we're basing our faith not on, I hope something will happen in the future. Our faith is based on the fact of God's word. Our faith is based on the fact that Jesus died, the fact that Jesus rose from the grave, and the fact that he's coming again to save us, to rescue us from this present age. But these scoffers, they forget that. They forget about the fact that God is able to do all these things. He's able to flood the earth. He's able to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He's able to punish sin. But he's also able to protect and preserve the righteous, as he did with Noah and as he did with Lot. He's able to preserve us in Christ. So we see there that God is patient. And also that time is measured differently. But don't forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. So we see there that God is patient, but he's also patient in a way that we can't really comprehend. We're often, when we're praying, we say, please, Lord, answer me now. I need this now. Whereas God sees the big picture. He sees from the beginning to the end. He knows how things are going to work out, and he can see things that we can't. So our trust needs to be in him and in his timing. I don't think anybody really wants to wait 1,000 years for a prayer to be answered, though. But God's timing is different to our timing. And God is patient, and he sees the bigger picture. And God is not forgetful. He's not like you can't compare him to us. I mean, we would only do things. I mean, my family get annoyed with me for not doing things when I should do them, and having to keep poking me to get things done. God's not like that. God doesn't need to keep poking. It's not like we're praying to God and poking him, saying, can you please sort this out? God is absolutely acutely aware and is absolutely involved in each of our lives. But he's patient, he's compassionate. He's not unaware. So last week we talked about one of my favourite verses. This, I think, is one of my favourite verses in this passage. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God's heart is not to destroy. God's heart is to rescue. It's to redeem. It's to save. Our God is a savior. So when this day of judgment comes, it will be the last resort. It will be after everything else is completed and God has decided that enough is enough. This God who is infinitely more patient than we are, it's up to him. But it also says in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And as we learned last week, this is going to be a surprise for people. People are not going to be expecting it. But those who are trusting in God, who are trusting in his word, will be expecting it. We will be waiting for that moment. And we will be, as we're learning today, aware of what's going on in our present situation with the errors and sticking to God's word, holding on to the truth. But this day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The heavens here refer to the sky, the stars, the universe, this creation that God has made. It refers to the physical. I don't see it referring to the heavens where God has his throne. That's often referred in the Greek as a different word compared to the heavens, which refer to the sky and the universe. So what we physically have, the substance of us, matter, is going to be burned up. Peter prophesies that they will expire with a loud noise. And he says that the material from which everything is made will be consumed by fire. But he also says not just the physical things will be destroyed, but also things will be exposed, things will be laid bare, things will be made obvious. So the hidden things in the world, the things that people try and hide, will be exposed. The things that people do in secret will be made clear to all. This is the day of judgment, where there'll be no place to hide. So we need to be on our guard as the day approaches, because forewarned is forearmed. So as well as thinking back, as well as looking forward, that has to mean something to us, and we need to live right now. We need to know how to live right now. Verses 11 to 18. So if we are forewarned, how can we be forearmed? Well, Peter says, by living godly lives. This is our response to God's love. This is our response to all that he's done for us. This is being on the winning side. And when we're on the winning side, we've got nothing to fear from the day of judgment. We've already passed through that judgment in Jesus Christ. When we belong to him, when we're clothed in his righteousness, we have the day of judgment is nothing for us to fear. And Peter says that we can speed up the day's arrival. It's as though I'm trying to think of an analogy. The only one I can think of is that when it's Christmas and you want Christmas to come, it often takes longer to come because you're waiting for it, and you know, watch kettle and all that. But really, I think as we eagerly wait for the future return, it makes our present seem less of a problem as we focus on his return. Because on that day, we will be rescued. Because even that day is not the end for us. It's only the end for for wickedness. We see these examples that Peter has already told us about in the past of Noah and Lot. And we see God's promise in his word. Jesus Christ is that promise. And our response to that approaching judgment, to live holy lives, to live lives for him, given over to him. And Peter says that there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, which is probably a sermon in itself. But he also, again, reminds us of God's patience in this. That God is also patient with us. We get things wrong. And because we get things wrong, it doesn't mean that we've blown it. Peter knows from his own personal experience. He himself remembers denying the Lord Jesus in his most desperate hour. Peter, writing this book, is possibly thinking back to that time when he let Jesus down. But he also remembers Jesus restoring him. He might even be remembering his disagreement with Paul, because he mentions Paul in his letters. Paul and Peter had that disagreement, and Paul was pointing out something that Peter was doing that was wrong. And Peter accepted that error. He accepted that he'd made a mistake, and so he remembers that God is patient with us. He wants us to be restored, he doesn't want us to be destroyed. He wants us to be restored in a right relationship with him. But then we look at, again, man's error. It's mentioned in when he talks about Paul. And he talks about the writings of Paul and the way that we can misinterpret things that people have said. We come to back to our point of being forewarned and forearmed. So we can see from history, like I said at the beginning, that there is the possibility that we are wrong, but not when it comes to God's word. Our interpretations can sometimes be wrong, and those are corrected by God as we continue to look at God's word, as we grow in the knowledge of God's word. We know that Scripture interprets Scripture. So we know there that if we're understanding something from one particular piece of Scripture, and that differs from something else said in Scripture, then we know that our understanding is somehow incorrect. So God has given us all that we need to build our faith, to build up ourselves, and to grow in the knowledge of Christ. But unfortunately, man can distort the Scriptures, and it's similar to the scoffers. Perhaps, it could be, like I said at the beginning, it could be anybody. It doesn't have to be a denomination. It doesn't have to be a particular celebrity. It could be anybody. So we all need to be forewarned and forearmed to guard against error. The battle for Christianity is not fought with swords and spears, but with hearts and minds. It's about our faith. And hanging on to the truth is better than falling for lies. So be on your guard as the day approaches, because forewarned is forearmed. So what is your response this morning? We need here to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we need to think wisely. We need to think back about what we've learned. We need to look forward. We need to be aware of these things occurring. And also, we need to live right now. We need to live in holiness, in a response to God's love. God is patiently waiting, allowing people to repent. And our response to future punishment and God's patience is to be holy. Now, I asked at the start a couple of questions about how many times you've sat in sermons and heard truth from God's word that's contradicted what you believed or how you would interpret it. I also asked how many times you've agreed with people giving advice, or perhaps you've said something yourself that was popular, a popular belief, only to find out later that it's wrong. And I also asked you whether you've been like Job's comforters who spoke from their own understanding and it seemed right at the time, but that when you see the error, you then see the error in what they're saying. Well, don't be upset if you'd previously believed something and it turned out to be wrong. I mean, I've been there so many times. But rejoice that you now know the truth. Rejoice that you are growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, the truth can set you free. What is most important is that you are reminded of the truth, because it can protect us in the future. We can be forewarned and we can be forearmed. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that within your word, your truth is there for us. Your truth is there to build us up. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, as we study your word, as we hear your word preached, as we learn more about you, Lord, we learn more about your truth. And Lord, things start to fit together. And things that we once perhaps were unsure about, Lord, you provide us with that assurance. Lord, we thank you that where we are today is perhaps in a different place to where we were years ago. But Lord, we thank you that where we are is close to you. Where we are is getting closer to you, Lord. And Lord, we know that we haven't arrived yet. We know, Lord, that there are certain things perhaps in our understanding now that where we're just wrong. But Lord, we thank you that there are certain things that we know because they're clear from your word. And Lord, we know in whom we believed. And Lord, we thank you that you are taking us forward. You are growing us, Lord, in your word, in knowledge of your word, and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, we pray that you'd help us. Help us, Lord, to trust your word, to not be skeptical about things, but to be trusting in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.